Church family, there we are. Good morning, good morning. Thank you, Joan, for your beautiful playing. Let's praise the Lord for Joan, shall we? Yes, thank you, thank you. Good morning to those visiting. Good morning to those of you joining us online. We welcome you to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church on this beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. We're so glad that you can join us for worship, and we gather not because we're perfect or we have it all together, but because God is full of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness, and he is good, and that is why we worship him. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's see. Last week we had our congregational meeting where we drew names for the individuals who would serve as our next elder and deacon, and so the Lord led us, or led these individuals to serve. We have Aaron Hahn as our next deacon. We have Todd Postma as our next elder, so we thank the Lord for you both and your willingness to serve, and we do want to thank our outgoing deacon, Luann, for all of her service over these many years. We're very thankful for you, and also Dennis, who's been serving as our elder, so we thank the Lord for you both. And next week, Sunday, I believe, will be the installation service. Is that correct? Still happening? Okay, so next week will be the installation service, so we look forward to that next week. And also next week is Father's Day. It's also our potluck Sunday, and I hear the elders are going to be grilling. So for potluck Sunday next Sunday, you don't have to bring the main course because that will be provided, but you are asked to please bring a salad or a dessert. Is it and or is it or? Pastor Matt? And or. Okay, so salad and or dessert to share and to add to that yummy meal after the service next week. Now, also at the congregational meeting last Sunday, Pastor Matt spoke briefly on an opportunity for us to go on a mission trip together. So for those of you who might have missed that announcement, I'd like to invite Pastor Matt to speak to that once again.
All right, so in the back and the fellowship hall at the table or on the bulletin board, there are sign-up sheets for a missions trip to Altadena. It's about 6 hours away, so this would be a lot of drywall hanging is what the primary focus is going to be at this particular site. This site is with World Renew and part of their DRS, the Disaster Relief Services, and we can take a group of 4 to 20 people. You do have to be 16 years or older to go, and it will be for a week. So that's Sunday after service we'll leave, and that's the 18th, and the plan would be then to be back Saturday the 17th to 23. Excellent. So Sunday we leave after service on the 17th, January 17th. And we get back then Saturday, January 23rd. So if you are interested, willing, you're not 100% sure that you could go, please go ahead and sign up and just so that I can have a rough count. And then we can lock in our week with World Renew.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Matt. So again, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to serve another part of our state. The people affected by the fires, I believe, is who we would be, right? Would be helping. So, you know, we're in June. It's not till January, but prayerfully consider if the Lord is calling you to serve in this way. And again, even if you're just thinking about it, go ahead and jot your name down so that he can just have a rough estimate of people that might be interested in going. So look for that sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the hallway by the kitchen. And then another opportunity that we have to show our community God's love and show them that our church is here is through the 4th of July parade. We're going to have a float. We would love for you all to get involved, whether it be decorating or walking in the parade. There's going to be a meeting after the service today where we're going to talk about more details. So if you would like to be involved, and I hope you are, please do join us for that meeting. And if you have any other questions, please do see Pastor Matt. What's happening at our church this week, various ministries, please do read your bulletin to find out what is happening. I know things are starting to wind down for the summer season. We're going to be taking a break from some of our ministries for the summer. So please do check your bulletin for all that is happening. A couple of things that I'd like to point out is the Daniel Bible study is happening on Tuesday at 7, and then Saturday will be the men's group at 8:30. And those are the announcements for today. So if you are able, would you please stand for our call to worship? And Elaine's going to join me up here. All right. Our call to worship this morning comes from John and the Book of Psalms. And if you would please respond with the words in yellow. So if the sun sets you free, you will be free indeed. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And let's say together, and his faithfulness to all generations. And now let's praise the Lord together.
The Lord God Almighty, he greets you this morning, and he says, grace and peace and love be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes, please be seated. And if you feel like clapping, please do.
Our call to confession this morning is going to come out of Isaiah and 1 John. Please respond in yellow. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have pursued our own desires rather than the will of God. We confess our sins before the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us come before God in humble confession and sincere repentance. Merciful God, you created us to live in the freedom of your love, yet we confess that we often choose captivity instead. We cling to our fears rather than trust your promises. We seek approval from others rather than obedience to Christ. We return to habits and attitudes that enslave us, even though you have called us to new life. Forgive us when we place our confidence in ourselves instead of your grace. Forgive us when we use our freedom for our own purposes rather than for your glory and the good of our neighbors. By your Holy Spirit, break the chains of sin that still bind us. Renew our hearts in the freedom Christ has won for us, and teach us to live as grateful servants of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave himself for our sins and calls us into the joy of abundant life. Amen. Our assurance of that forgiveness comes to us from Romans and Colossians. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and set free. Thanks be to God. Our hymn of response is I Surrender Also. Would you please join with me in singing?
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Lord, we come surrendering all to you, for you hold everything. You hold our life, you hold creation. You hold all that we stand in need of, and Lord, you and you alone are faithful and trustworthy. You alone can we come and seek and know that we are certainly and surely in your will and in the good place of in your presence. Lord, we are your people and you have made us so. And we, Lord, come rejoicing before you. We acknowledge all of the marvelous ways we see you moving amongst us, your people. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for continuing to sustain Gia's health. And we pray, Lord, for the good diagnosis, the joyful words of cancer in remission to be delivered. We pray, Heavenly Father, and we thank you, Lord, for the good work that you continue to do in healing of Luann and Nick and of Julian. Lord, we are so grateful that you hear the prayers of your people and that you have responded in marvelous and glorious ways. And so, Lord, we continue to bring before you those that are on our hearts. And we would ask, Lord, that you would carry to completion the healing in Julian. And we ask, Lord, for you to carry to completion the healing in Luann and Nick as well. Continue to sustain them. Continue, Lord, to be their ever-present help in these times of trouble. And may we, Lord, by your Spirit, see your marvelous work in action. May we praise you. May we glorify your name. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you those who are in assisted living homes. I think of Winnie and Arenda and Keiko. Lord, we pray, and Bernice. And we pray, Lord, for your continued presence in their life. You've promised to be our good shepherd, Lord, all of the days of our life. That we would, Lord, dwell in your house. That we dwell in your presence now, and that we would dwell in your presence through all of eternity, because you, Jesus, laid your life down. You paid our ransom so that we might live. The penalty of death was upon us, and you took it on your own shoulders and bore it to its fullest, so that we might receive the fullest of life. And so, Lord, I pray that even now, Lord, you would bring clarity and revelation to the fullness in which each of these ladies might live into, Lord, your will. Heavenly Father, I also lift up to you Pastor Dave and Daniel Park and Mrs. Choi. Lord, it is our desire to see them restored to health. We, Lord, desire to see you strengthen their bodies and make them whole. We also recognize, Lord, that until you come and return, Jesus, being called into your presence in its fullness now means an absence here with us. And so, Lord, I thank you for your good work of building faith in each of these individuals. I pray, Lord, that you would call them continually, as you call each one of us, into repentance and confession, and into the dependence upon you, Jesus, for all things. This life and in the next, and in the hope and in the knowledge that your sacrifice is sufficient, and that our life remains secure in you. Heavenly Father, I also want to lift before you this morning all of the graduates who've been through their ceremonies, anticipate the next steps in life. Those graduating from elementary school and going into middle school, Lord, prepare them for this transition. For those graduating from middle school into high school, Lord, prepare them for this transition. For those graduating from high school and going into college or into various fields of work, Lord, prepare them for this transition. And for those graduating from master's level education, such as seminary, Lord, prepare them for this transition. Lord, I highlight before you the seminarians as this morning we, Lord, seek to give to the ministry of the candidacy committee. And Lord, the work that they do to help navigate each of the seminarians through the end of their education and into their jobs, the vocations and careers that you have called them to. And so, Lord, with the scholarships and with the administrative staff and with the counselors, Lord, I pray that you would grant them, Lord, your heart to build leaders that are committed, anchored, and immersed in your word, who, Lord, desire to see you proclaimed among the nations and locally, and who are indeed zealous for the proclamation of your gospel. So, Lord, bless the offering we take this morning. Continue to build your kingdom through the ministry of the candidacy committee. And, Lord, may you continue to build your kingdom here amongst us. Transform us, Lord, in this service through your word, through prayer, through the singing of your glorious nature and character. And may you, Lord, may you be glorified here as you have already been. Continue to glorify your name amongst us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. At this time, I'll invite our deacons forward to receive our offering this morning, which is for the candidacy committee. Except you kids. You kids can stand and come on forward. We'll dismiss you for Kids Connection. All right, and we do this with a little bit of sign language. So, the Lord be with you. Amen. Enjoy, have fun. Thank you, Olivia. Learn lots about Jesus and the Bible and hone your Sunday school answers. Amen. We too will be honing our Sunday school answers. Going to the book of Galatians. Are you ready with me? So last week we started our series in Galatians, which was the Gospel of John. But we had to introduce it with Jesus' own words that this book is about freedom, true freedom in God. So if you're looking for Galatians, now in your Bible, you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Yay! It is going to be up there, and also the page number is up there, 1154, so you can cheat with the Pew Bible. But if you brought your own, that will not help you. So we're going to start and we'll read this from Galatians chapter 1, the first five verses. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the church of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Indeed, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And now, Holy Spirit, move it into our lives. The very core of who we are, that it should transform us, Lord, that you should transform us from the inside out. Here this morning, I pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, so last week, we started Galatians with the Gospel of John. Surprise! This week, the title is Free to Live. And what better place to find out what it truly means to live than to start in two tombs. Oh, okay. The interpreter got it. Yes! So we start first with the King Tut tomb. I remember as a kid seeing the discovery of this tomb and the excitement revolving around it and the fact that it used to tour. Anyone else remember the touring King Tut tomb? Ah, yes. Anyone go and see it? Yeah, okay, great. So we get this amazing find. Treasure, remarkable artifacts, and one of the most well-preserved mummies ever. And everyone goes in and wanders around and gets to see all of this magnificent stuff. And that's what his tomb was filled with. His tomb was filled to the brim with gold and furniture, with pots and pans, and a sarcophagus with a mummy. That's tomb number one. When we talk about living. And let's be honest, some who passed through that traveling exhibition of a tomb thought to themselves, that's living. Let's not lose the irony of that, because the centerpiece of that exhibit, the centerpiece of the tomb, is a dead body. Mummified to try and preserve it as long as possible. Now enter in tomb number two. It's empty, except for grave cloths folded neatly on the carved out bed. That's all that's in it. I can't give you any other descriptions. I can't give you any other pieces. We can't marvel at the extravagance and the lavish living that's inside of it, because it's empty. But the one who is in it is alive. So you want to be free to live? You're definitely going to have to choose tomb two. Paul's introduction to the Galatian church. He greets them. He greets them and he says to them, first and foremost, that this is not an endeavor by human ability to claw themselves out of the King Tut tomb. This is about a God who loves each one of them. To bring them out of the King Tut tomb so that they might truly, for the first time, experience what it really means to freely live. You notice that in our section of text that all of the verbs of saving in here are directly the result of God. So Paul is an apostle, not because of what people did, not because of what he did, but because of what Jesus, God, and God the Father did to him. The grace and the peace directly from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father. It was God the Father that gave us his Son. And it is for his glory that we continue to live into this freedom. So the first thing that Paul wants the church and us to remember is this is, to quote Rick Warren, not about you. This is about God and his work. Because when we look and we see God, the living God, we remember that he is the initiator, the first mover. He created all things to live. He gave it to us as humanity. And he declared that it was good. And we entered into it. He set us down right in the middle, Adam and Eve, and he gave them the responsibility of caring for the garden. He gave them the instructions not to eat of the knowledge, good and evil. We get to see God, life giver. And then two chapters later, we get to see human life taker. Seems to be throughout all of this recorded history and God's good salvific plan, this movement between those two, God life giver and humanity life taker. We get life with God, we get death with humanity. And yet while we continue to choose death, it is because we're normally chasing after life. We get so focused on ourselves that we seek to fill our tombs with all of the great and glorious pieces of life, success, family, good reputation, wealth, health. We seek to fill our tombs with the best of the best, that we can be truly living. But the joke's on us. The more that we seek to add to our tomb, the more we acknowledge the bondage in which we live. The more that we acknowledge that the chains of death are around us, we are fastened to them. We're controlled by our desires. We're controlled by what others think. We're controlled by the ever and continuous drumbeat of bigger and better. Controlled by our family. We're controlled by our friends. We're controlled by the government. We're controlled, and we can fit just about anything into that blank. Because we want a tomb to rival King Tut's deep down in our heart. Perhaps it's about significance. I want to be a significant dead person. But for those of us here that have chased after those things, for those of us here who have sought to pile it up, there comes a point in which we recognize that we haven't really been truly living. We've only been making preparations for a tomb. And this is God's gracious gift to us. And I say that because it is such a beautiful gift from God, right? And all of these things are coming from God. To see the chains that all of those even good things become on our hearts. And the weight of trying to keep it fuels the anxiety and the worry that continues to press us towards the inevitable tomb. This is where we realize we haven't been free to live. We've been bound to die. And this is where Paul, in the introduction to this letter, says, "But look, there is life. It is not an inevitability that you should be marched into the tomb and that you should never be free to live. For Christ has come. The Son has set free from the bonds of death." Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. According to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We want to live. We sought and we chased after it. whether it was to make a name that would be passed on from generation to generation, or if it was to build enough wealth to change generations after us. Whatever we're doing, we're chasing life, because death is an intruder and we don't want to experience it. But in the futility of our chasing, we come to the end of ourselves and the realization that our utter dependence must be on Jesus, on God, the living God, the one who has given us true life. He's died for each of our sins so that we might be forgiven. He's died for each of us that we might live. So in searching for life, what we found was Jesus. We thought we wanted life, but what we really wanted was God. We thought the ultimate expression of a life well lived was a tomb that rivaled King Tut's, and what true living looks like is a completely empty tomb. When God continues to shed chains that bind our hearts and bind our minds, we become freer and freer to step into a life that is reflective of who He is. We step into a life that is lived free from condemnation, the guilt and the shame that you hold in your heart dissolves like snow. We are free then, free from the constant, ever-present, continual need to prove our worth to God. If I don't do this, God won't love me. We are free from this burden. The death sentence, because we will never earn the approval of God. He gives it to us. And not without cost. Cost to Him, not to us. What are we free to live into? We are free to live into pursuing what truly matters for eternity, not for today. The crushing pressure of making our lives matter to those around us and impressing them, we are released from. You are free. You are free to love your neighbor. Free to do it in ways that reflect and honor the name of God. You're free to serve with generosity because you're no longer bound by the chains by the chains of believing there's not enough. But that we serve a God who provides and prospers his people so we are free to give. Free to give of our time, free to give of our finances, free to give of our talents. We are free to raise families in the knowledge of the truth, in the true structure of family as prescribed by God's word, even in the midst of a world that screams at us to change. Free to live. We are free to live into forgiveness, giving it and receiving it, because both are equally difficult. But if we are following after Jesus, and we recognize his work in us, we continually on a daily basis unpack the magnitude of forgiveness that he has given to us, then whatever we are holding on to pales in comparison and looks ridiculously small. And we give it over. The embarrassment of asking for forgiveness no longer then becomes the unsurpassable obstacle before us. Because the God of the universe has forgiven us. We are free from the bonds of self-preservation and the bonds of self-security and the bonds of self-righteousness and the bonds of a good reputation in front of men. We are freed from that so that we might honestly, integrally live life so that we can be the same person in front of a crowd or at home in our living room by ourselves. We're freed to be the same. We are freed from the anxiety. We are freed from the illness. We are freed from uncertainty. Because we are given hope from God. Because God has given us an empty tomb. Oh, so, dearly beloved church, receive Paul's blessing for the ages and to the people of God, that the grace would be to you and peace would be to you, and that it would be from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That it would be grace. Grace that your life is a gift. It's not a prize that you need to claw out from the hands of fate. It is a gift from a loving God. And a peace. The peace is a wholeness of living. A completeness of who God made each of us to be. His precious child, loved and always loved, embraced and always welcomed, made righteous by work, sacrifice, the one and only Son, Jesus. This is the gospel message. It's the good news. The good news is you are free to live. You are free to live because God has destroyed the tomb. And he invites us into this free life, shedding those things that captivate our hearts too often, in which we begin, as the Spirit continues its good work in our hearts, to live into that grace and that peace, and recognizing that we are filling our tombs with things that aren't life but death, so that we might live in an empty tomb. Live out of an empty tomb. It is a wonderful gift, free to live. It is an intimidating responsibility, this gift of free to live. It is an exciting adventure, this gift. Free to live and unbound by the world. But above all, this gift, free to live, unbound by the chains of death and destruction, untethered to the world, this present evil age. Above all, it is to the glory of God. So in this coming week, I would encourage you to listen to the Spirit calling to your heart to release. Release the things that bind you to the tomb of this world and step into the life of Jesus. Would you join with me in prayer? Gracious God, thank you that you have not left us in death. Thank you for sending Jesus to deliver us from this present evil age through the power of the empty tomb. Forgive us for the ways we still cling to our tombs. By your Holy Spirit, help us to live in the freedom Christ has won for us. O Lord, gracious God, make Alameda Christian Reformed Church the community that displays the power of the empty tomb. To your glory, forever and ever, amen. Our hymn of response this morning is "To God Be the Glory." So if you are able, please stand and we will sing together. Morning, and just one last friendly invitation and reminder. At 11:40, we are going to meet up in the cadet room, which is the room at the top of the stairs on the right, for our July 4th parade meeting. So if you have interest in participating in any aspect of that, planning, walking, driving, candy buying, firecracker throwing, although I don't think that's legal. Please come and meet me up in the cadet room. All right, now the Lord's blessing. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever. Amen.
Thank you.